Chapter 25. Arcus Dolor loomed in the center of the arena, like the foreboding and jagged cliff face of Mount Everest, almost literally. The avian siblings weren't kidding when they said their father was massive, because not only was he over 7 feet, but he was built like a fucking panzer as well. There was no way I could ever take this guy down with just my bare hands, and I didn't really want to use the last hit on my herald blade so soon. I always trusted Horace, Shay, and Zoe to guide me, but the evidence of my trust as it stood menacingly before me was a refreshing reality check that I was in good hands. If they had every confidence I could randomly learn something new in order to best survive, then I would just have to take their word for it. Right then, I vowed whatever came next from here until I conquered this Goliath, I would put their faith in me to good fucking use, starting now. "You must be Arcus Dolor," I said cheerfully, as if my self-declared sworn enemy didn't just gate-crash my party. "I've heard so much about you. I would offer you a tour of my humble estate, but it seems as if you already know your way around." My confident and straightforward aloofness appeared to have the desired effect, because for just a fraction of a second, the man's perfected mask of intimidation faltered.
"Ahem. Yes, well..."
The austere mountain of a man brought one hand up to his goatee and stroked it.
"I did have this place commissioned when it was filled with better company, so I should, by all rights, know my way around."
"By better company, you mean Balaren, I take it," I stated, and I rested my unarmed crossbow on the ground next to the bolt case so I could casually lean on the stock. "If you haven't heard from the gossip mill by now, let me fill you in. Ren was found wanting by the righteous judgment of the herald blade your eldest forged for me. Both it and I did not like what we saw, so we took his head." Dolor scowled, and his gray eye darted back and forth between mine, as if he was gauging my conviction. I continued to meet his gaze head-on with my calm and slightly cavalier expression. In that contest of wills, I felt like I could see a myriad of scenarios flash through the man's mind as he weighed each and every option with equal deliberation. At one point, it occurred to me one of those scenarios might end up with him attacking me here and now. But he was much too calculating to do something so rash, especially since he went through the rigmarole of having Gordo try to off me first. If anything, the man was wickedly clever, which really wasn't that much of a surprise, considering who his children were. And I knew I had to really play my cards right. Finally, Dolor seemed to come to a decision, and he clasped his hands behind his back and straightened from his slightly stooped posture. This had the effect of making him appear even larger.
"I have come at the behest of your letter, due to the fact you requested a redefining of parameters,"
the man rasped in his scratchy sandpaper voice.
"Why come all this way yourself?"
Shay asked and walked closer so she could flank me on my left.
"Why didn't you send an executor, sir?"
"You think your father is too old to travel from Gate Town, so he must instead send someone to settle his business,"
Dolor sneered at the Phoenix woman.
"Why, daughter, I thought I taught you to not underestimate anyone."
"No one is underestimating you, old man," Horace chimed in, as he flanked me on the right side along with Zoe. "Trust me, we all know what you're capable of. However, I was under the impression you weren't one to debase yourself with common work. After all, wasn't that the point of Asher Gordo? But that failed. So now you're here because you have no one left to send in your place. Figures."
"There was a time you revered me with respect, boy,"
Dolor growled, and took a step as if to backhand Horace. I intercepted by firing the reed I inconspicuously loaded into my crossbow while they were arguing, and I'd aimed it right at the Goliath's feet, which made him halt his tracks as a cloud of green dust exploded in his shocked face. "I hope you really weren't about to give me a reason to end this here and now, and save me a whole lot of time," I said, as I reset my bow with a click, pulled a real bolt out of the case I now had strapped to my armored belt, and twirled it around in my fingers as if toying with the idea of loading another one. "I agree with Horace. You came a long way just to hear out a few parameters. There's something else you're angling for, and I suggest you get on with it, or the next one won't be a read.
It will be satisfying to wipe that arrogance from your countenance, Brightwood.
The man barked out a harsh laugh, as if he just heard a really good joke.
But you are correct. I wanted to hand-deliver you an invitation to one of the elite duelist clubs in the village square. It is the oldest of the clubs on Nata, and it is tradition for top duelists to be invited by the one they are set to duel. That way, if the challenger who belongs to the club fails, the Asher who vanquishes him will be inducted to take his place.
You want to invite me into your special club right before you fight me to the death? I deadpanned. How neighborly of you.
Trust me, it is not out of the graciousness of my heart, I can assure you, he said with a disgusted grimace. It is required I do this, so the club can maintain its sacred number of 64 members.
What if I don't want to be in your club? I asked. Already I felt as if I was tangled up in too many politics as it was, so the thought of belonging to an elite society like the Freemasons was something that probably came with its own set of problems Alex is not qualified for.
What? But it is of the highest honor!
Doler hissed in outrage, as if I ordered a McRib at the best steakhouse in New York, and it was the first major crack in the man's stoic exterior. I decided to dig in even more. Meh, I shrugged, and lowered my weapon to the ground again. Sounds like a sausage fest, to be honest. Horace snorted behind me, but tried to cover it up, and I grinned internally at the fact.
I'm afraid I am much too intelligent to understand whatever idiotic frippery that just was. But I can tell by your tone you couldn't care less.
Doler fumed as his eyes flashed with hatred.
Just like a foreigner to discard or slough off the sacred duties of Asherdom. Very well. You may formally decline the induction if the time comes. But if I were you, I wouldn't be so confident you will need to do any of this at all. This is all for formality's sake, you understand.
Of course, I said, and unarmed my crossbow again, so I could rest my arm atop it once more. Speaking of formalities, I believe we have a few parameters to discuss.
Go ahead,
the large man nodded, as if he was the one indulging me. As challenger, I accept your duel and propose we fight with crossbows, I said, and prepared myself for the next part that was basically going to come straight from my ass. The place of the duel shall remain inside the battle hall like you have requested. However, we will fight in the style and manner of my people, in which you and I will stand on either ends of the hall and take turns aiming for the other one at a time until one of us is successful.
What's this? A traveler dueling custom?
The sour man sneered.
How precious.
It's ceremonial, and just because I am a man of honor, if you accept my parameters, I will gladly accept your invitation into the duelist club, I said, and mentally crossed my fingers that my bait-and-switch scheme worked. Hopefully I made him believe he was getting the better deal by accepting my innocuous little parameters, especially if I said I would be inducted or whatever.
So be it, Brightwood.
The severe man said with another bitter grimace. He stuck out his bony, long-fingered hand, gnarled with arthritis, and I was suddenly shocked into a split-second flashback of the Bone Tree Forest.
Let us shake on it and be done with it.
I bit my lip as I gazed down at his outstretched hand, and I was proud of myself for only hesitating a second before clasping his clothed forearm. His spindly fingers nearly wrapped completely around my arm, and I forced myself to keep from shuddering at the icy spike that burned my nerve endings everywhere our skin was in contact. His cruel gray eyes stabbed into mine, and the burning in my arm ratcheted up a notch, but still I kept my composure. Done, I agreed, and when a long enough time had passed where I could take my hand back without being suspicious, I withdrew as steadily as I could.
Good,
he said. And he adjusted his cuff as his glass eye scrutinized me from head to toe.
You and a second of your choice may stay the night in the guest suite at the battle hall. Then at dawn, We will duel based on your parameters.
Pleasure doing business with you. I glared and hid the tremor I could feel starting up in my hand. I'm assuming you know your way out?
Indeed,
the large man sneered as he glared at each of his children, and then he stalked out of the arena without another word. The tremors in my right hand turned into an aching needle-like sensation, and my vision swam for a moment. But I held it together until the large doors closed behind his billowing black cloaks.
Showed him, the entitled uptight! Alex!
Shay exclaimed, just as I dropped my unarmed crossbow with a clatter and sank to one knee.
Husband!
Zoe said, and crouched down in front of me. Her cool hands came up and cupped my suddenly hot face, which caused me to groan.
He's running a fever again.
Again? Horace asked, as he knelt and squeezed my right shoulder. What, you mean this has happened before?
The last time he was like this was when he summoned the Herald Blade to kill Bala,
Shay said.
And the time before that, when he restored the lanterns around Ithaca,
Zoe said as she gently lifted my head so she could look into my eyes.
He's reacting to some sort of power overload or something similar.
My arm, I managed to get out before the burning frostbite pain caused the muscles in my bicep to cramp and seize. If I were to describe the sensation, it felt as if someone was intent on twirling the fibers of my muscles around a hot metal fork, like they were spaghetti.
Zoe, move aside, Horace said,
and my vision suddenly filled with the sight of the Falcon Man's glowing gold-green irises.
The amulet might be able to help shield him from whatever he's reacting to.
Horace then tugged one of his gloves off with his teeth, pulled the silver chain out from under my tunic, and removed the whole amulet from around my neck.
Horace,
I asked as my vision doubled again and my head felt stuffed full of gauze.
Was Rylan a canterfly?
Oh boy, hang in there, Chief, the Falcon Man said, and helped me down to lay on my back.
Which arm is it?
My right one, I said, and squeezed my eyes shut as the stabbing reached my shoulder.
Fuck, it's spreading.
It's all right, Chief, I can see it. The alchemist's eyes flashed gold again, and I was briefly reminded of the shimmering surface of the sacred tithe pool. Again, the epiphany I had while I was meditating was hovering just on the edge of my mind, but it slipped away when another sharp pain twisted up the side of my neck and made me forget everything but agony.
Horace, do something!
Shay shouted over the sound of someone screaming, and it took me a moment to realize that person was me.
Got it!
The alchemist said, and then pressed something hard into my forearm, where the pain was the most intense.
One more moment!
A dull, throbbing warmth began to emit from the amulet against my arm, and with it brought a much-needed reprieve from the icy claws stabbing into my neck and now chest.
Shit!
I gasped, once I was able to actually take a full breath of air, and my vision slowly began to equalize.
There it is,
Horace encouraged, and moved the amulet up to my bicep.
I've contained the wound.
What wounded me? I croaked out as I lifted my head from Zoe's lap and looked down at my quivering right hand.
There isn't any blood. I don't know how he did it, but he somehow managed to pierce your spirit,
the Falcon Man said with a haunted look.
How is that even possible?
His sister asked from her spot next to Zoe as she gave my other hand a comforting squeeze.
I don't know. But it reeks of the darkest of old magics,
Horace intoned, and he moved the amulet up to my shoulder joint, which caused me to shiver as my muscles slowly unlocked from their painful cramping.
Basically, your soul was hemorrhaging through the place where you made contact. If it weren't for this amulet and the sheer amount of power you have inside you to counteract the spell, you would have been dead before you even finished the handshake.
Oh, is that all? I asked dully through my chattering teeth.
I'm trying to tell him he's basically a miracle for surviving one of the darkest spells known to Aventol, and all he says is that all?
My best friend snarked gently down at me with a mostly fond expression, as he then moved the amulet up to my seizing neck.
There you go. Almost done.
Your dad's a dick, I said, as I let my eyes drift shut, now that every fiber of my being wasn't being consumed by blinding pain.
I'm going to kill him so hard. I'm looking forward to it, Chief,
the Falcon Man said, and then replaced the amulet back around my neck where it continued to chase away the rest of the chill.
Oh, that was bogus, I groaned, and then moved to sit upright with the help of everyone,
which was as endearing as it was overkill.
I didn't mean to worry you guys. I'm okay, I promise.
Thanks, H.
Of course, pal.
My trusty second smiled warmly, and at that moment I really was glad to have him on my side.
You saved my life, I said, as I looked down at the strange shape branded around my forearm like a cuff.
I guess we're even, then. He punched me lightly in the arm and smirked when I hissed a little at the sensation of pins and needles, as if my nerves were growing back all at the same time.
I'm afraid you'll have that scar forever, though. But if you hold it up next to your face, people won't even notice.
Jerk. Now I had yet another reason to kill him.
I feel like we should continue on with what we were doing before Dolar barged in, I said, as I shoved the Falcon Man back on his ass for that comment, and I pulled myself up to my feet as my energy returned bit by bit.
Are you sure, husband?
Zoe asked, even though she handed me my fallen crossbow anyway.
I really am fine, I said, and rolled my head around on my neck so it would crack in a satisfying way.
Fine is a word that has too many definitions to really be accurate,
Zoe teased with an arched eyebrow. So, just to show off and to prove to everyone I really was fine, I cocked my crossbow, loaded a bolt into the groove, and fired off a shot that landed just inches to the right of a bullseye painted on a hay bale. Horace clicked his teeth critically as he rubbed his chin.
Not quite. I agree, you need more practice.
Is paintballing back on?
Shay asked as she whipped out her leather rock sling and reached into the small pouch around her waist where she was keeping her red dust reed balls. A blue plume of dust suddenly exploded in the Phoenix woman's face, which caused her to make a noise between a hiccup and a cough and shake her head.
What do you think, darling?
Zoe purred as she held a series of blue dust reeds just like her throwing knives, interspersed between all 10 fingers.
You will reap what you sow, Zoe of Varthe,
Shay declared, and then ran after the Catwoman with a roiling giggle.
I guess that's a yes,
Horace said, and then swung one of his yellow reeds toward my head.
Hey,
I said, as the bulb clipped my shoulder when I tried to dodge.
That definitely doesn't count.
It definitely does,
the Falcon Man hollered back. And then the four of us proceeded to spend the next few hours absolutely pummeling each other in a free-for-all that was as vicious as it was insanely fun. Eventually, it was the familiar cawing of Rufus that finally put a halt to our frolicking as he swooped into the arena.
Scraw!
He said, and then landed on the barrel of my crossbow, which caused me to accidentally pull the trigger.
Oof!
Shay said, and then looked down at the newly powdered green circle added to the myriad of other colors on her white blouse.
Rufus did it, I blamed, and lowered my crossbow to the ground.
The crow moth clicked in an annoyed way, and he flew over to perch on Shay's shoulder with a fluff of his tail feathers.
Touchy, I huffed. But I think he's here to tell us we should be heading to the village square soon.
He must know you have your meeting with Tovish tonight, and he's probably most eager to see his owner,
Zoe said, and going by the way the gold seeker drooped just a little, I figured she must be right.
Since only those with a standing invitation may stay at the club inn, Zoe, Rylan, and I will stay at another inn. But we better get on the road so we can make it before the sun sets,
Shay said.
We all need a quick moment to freshen up, but let us all reconvene as soon as we are able.
Good thinking, I said. And we all collectively separated in order to scrub up and hit the road.
Has anyone seen Rylan?
Zoe asked as she loaded a bag of hers into the carriage.
He's bringing Prosper up from the stables,
Shay said.
He's been awfully quiet today.
The boy was up even before we were, after you tucked him in,
Zoe said to me with a slight frown. Maybe he was embarrassed, I guessed, as I watched the stable boy lead the black and orange butterfly Pegasus up the hill.
Maybe.
Zoe mused, and then left to go meet him so she could walk with him. And as I saw her loop an arm around his shoulders, I felt pride at how great of a mother she already was.
The poor darling has been troubled lately, hasn't he?
My phoenix wife asked, as she finished braiding her hair into one scarlet rope that cascaded over her shoulder.
He's just settling in like we all are, I murmured, as another little something niggled my brain, but I was too wrung out to try to catch hold of it.
The tremor in my hand started up again,
but I flexed my fingers and ignored the sense of foreboding creeping through me as I looked at the brand around my forearm. From the angle I was observing it from, I could see the impression where Doler's thumb overlapped his middle finger and created something that looked like a snake eating its own tail. "Chief?" Horace's hand on my shoulder jolted me out of my weird, trance-like state, and I shook out my hand. "What?" I asked, and I figured he'd been trying to get my attention more than once, based on his expression. "How's the arm?" he asked, and moved in close so the others wouldn't overhear as they finished up preparations. "It's okay for the most part, but it still aches," I admitted. Part of me wanted to hide the fact and brush off his concern, but I was too weary for that. Maybe that second round of vigorous paintball was a bit of a mistake. "I think I need to meditate some more." "Do what you need to do, friend," Horace said, as he opened the door to the cab. "I was gonna sit up top with Rylan," I protested, even though I stepped up into the carriage anyway. That cushioned bench looked awfully comfortable all of a sudden. "I'll sit with him, and you get a nap or something, all right?" The Falcon Man patted my arm, before he helped first Zoe and then Shay up into the carriage. "Something is bugging the boy," I murmured absently, even as Zoe guided me to lay my head in her lap. "Old Uncle Horace will lend an ear, never you fear," the dorky Falcon Man said, and closed the carriage door. "Let me know if something happens," I mumbled into Zoe's stomach, and before I could hear either of their replies, I was already tumbling into a fitful slumber. Numerous times I was in and out of sleep as the carriage trundled ever closer to the village square. At first, I didn't notice it, but the brand around my arm started to feel warm, then prickled unpleasantly, and finally burned fiercely like an Indian burn as the Ouroboros twisted, throbbed, and ached, ached, ached.
"Be okay?"
A quiet voice like sunflower honey filtered through the surface of my uneasy doze.
"Alex is strong,"
another voice replied, which was cool and soothing like the other side of the pillow. I turned over and curled around my burning right arm while deft fingers carted through my hair and soothed me back into a weird meditative state.
"His eyes are open,"
Shay said as she lightly cupped my face. The green of her irises was so deep they transfixed me, and I breathed deeply, in, then out. That golden pool flashed cloyingly again, and I was drawn to the edge, as if magnetized. I looked down, but instead of the wraith-like shadow hybrid with the dead eyes, there was only the image of a snake eating its own tail as it circled over and over, and my heart beat louder and louder.
"Alex!"
someone shouted.
"Horace! Quickly! He's burning up again!"
"Dark hells!"
came a familiar curse, and the carriage slowed to a stop.
"My love, you need to wake up,"
that cool water voice whispered against the shell of my ear, and I tried to swim to the surface even though my arm was on fire and dragging me deeper like an iron ball and chain. Something was removed from around my neck again, but before Horace could do his alchemist voodoo on me again, the chain suddenly broke, and I snapped awake, irritated and confused. "What?" I growled at everyone staring at me like a wounded animal, and I ran a shaky hand through my hair. "I'm sorry, it's just, my arm keeps burning, and the meditation doesn't seem to be working."
"Let me see your amulet, Alex," Horace requested, as he held out his hand.
"What is that you're doing?" I asked, as I removed the red gem from around my neck.
"I'm focusing the protection to surround the part of you that was branded, as it seems to be acting up again," he explained, as his eyes flashed gold, and he helped me sit upright.
"Do you have any idea why?" I asked, as my teeth chattered again from the chilled air against my flushed skin.
"I don't. But whatever you're reacting to, the amulet will try to buffer it for only so long before it breaks," the alchemist said.
"I thought you said red and orange cores don't shatter like the rarer ones," I frowned as he made me clutch the gem in my right hand.
"Alex, by all rights, you should have been dead the second Arcus touched you," Horace said, and he chafed my arm so the burning would ease. "From what I can tell, you are expending a tremendous amount of inner power just to stay as conscious as you are. Everything has its limits."
"Oh," I said, as my mind began to clear, while the amulet radiated soothing waves up my arm and reduced the burning sensation to something I could easily ignore.
"Whatever our father has done to harness such power must have come at such a grave price,"
Shay said from her place to my right.
Very carefully, she picked up my branded arm and tenderly prodded the inflamed skin around the raw circle of burnt flesh.
I fear little of his soul remains.
Pity for him,
Zoe growled.
No one will mourn for him when he is dead.
Oh, calm down, Wildcat, I tried to tease, but my joking tone fell rather flat. I still felt groggy as if I just woke up from a sweaty flu nap, and I wished I had access to another shower or something. Where are we, anyway?
We're just on the edge of the village,
Rylan answered from outside, then poked his head upside down through the window.
Is Alex okay?
I'm all right, bud, I told him, and then turned to both my wives. Have you decided on a place to stay that's near the club inn?
There's a tavern right across the square from the battle hall,
Shay said.
The innkeeper owes me a favor, and she'll board Prosper for free.
And Tovish, I asked Horace.
The forest where he wants to meet you is a few leagues north of the battle hall, he said.
Great, I nodded, and slipped the red amulet over my head and under my tunic again next to my Dula stone. Let's drop the ladies off first, and then you and I can walk to the forest. I think the fresh air will do me good. With our plan in place, we then resumed course to the starlit tavern, unloaded and boarded up the Canterfly, and then said goodbye to Zoe, Shay, and Rylan.
Stay safe, and come back to us in one piece, both of you,
Shaylia said, as she framed my face with her small hands and kissed me on the lips.
Keep your eyes and ears open, and remember your training,
Zoe added, as she embraced me strongly while the Phoenix woman did the same with her brother. I will. I nodded to both of my beautiful wives, and then ruffled Rylan's messy hair.
Take care of him, Rufus,
the stable boy said, and nudged the yellow crow moth off his forearm so he would perch on my shoulder. Then Rylan wrapped his arms around my torso and squeezed.
Don't die.
I won't, I whispered, and then planted a kiss into his chaotic mop. Take care of Shay and Zoe while I'm gone. I'm trusting you.
I won't let you down,
he said, and then pulled back with a suspiciously wet sniffle. With one last wave over my shoulder, the Falcon Man and I set off around the edge of the square with our hooded travel cloaks up in order to blend in with the twilight shadows. The evening air was crisp in a good way that brought a little vigor back into my weary body with every breath I took. The exercise of stretching my legs felt nice, and Horace and I spent the journey weaving in and out of side streets and narrow alleys, mostly in companionable silence.
What do you think Tovish has to say?
Horace asked, as we entered the trailhead that led away from the village. The large battle hall was still visible with its odd pagoda-like roofs as it rose above the canopy.
I'm not sure, but I have a suspicion I'm not going to like it, I said, as we came upon the clearing that was marked with a stone obelisk Tovish vaguely mentioned in his brief letter.
Skrull!
Rufus suddenly cawed and flapped toward the sound of a metallic ringing noise in the darkness.
Roo!
Horace called, as both he and I ran after the trail of golden dust the Chromoth left behind.
He's on the trail for some gold, I said, as I tried not to let Horace get too far ahead of me. I still wasn't feeling up to my peak physical fitness, but for now I was thankful I could at least keep up with the Falcon Man's long-legged strides, whereas an hour ago this would have been unthinkable.
Look! Through the trees!
Horace gestured with the tip of his bow at an orange glowing light down by the riverbank. Rufus's silhouette led the way to a portly figure in a brown cloak with enormous white fluffy koala ears, cracked half-moon spectacles, and a fresh scar in the end stages of healing across his wizened face.
Tovish!
I called out, just loud enough to be heard above the rushing water. The koala elder waved at me just as Rufus landed on his shoulder and began pecking at the old man's shirt pocket where, evidently, a piece of gold was hidden inside.
Good to see you, lad,
Tovish said, and hurried toward me with his arm outstretched in greeting.
I haven't much time, but I must pass along this grave warning.
Okay, well, wait, I said. But when I extended my branded right arm without thinking, I was met with a sharp gasp as the innkeeper startled so badly he fell down on the ground.
Oh, merciful Mercedes, no, I'm too late,
he gasped, as his beady eyes locked onto the twisted Ouroboros snaking around my forearm. Fuck. I knew I wasn't going to like whatever the koala elder was bound to tell me next.